Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, that was interesting. I don't have an introduction to the show put together yet, so I want to play a little bit of music that was here on the little list of sounds and musics and so forth here at withinsights.com. And I see one here called Ash Cave Drum Music, which I think is really cool. I've been to, we have drummings We have drummings at Ash Cave 4 times a year. And someone evidently recorded some music. I know I've recorded some music there from time to time. I don't think that was it, but I see it's on here. I say, well, I'll use that as my opening music. Of course, I haven't listened to it yet. So I just plugged it in there and didn't seem to be much happening, or maybe it isn't coming over the radio quite as it should. So I abandoned it and gave you this rather long-winded introduction. Maybe I can find something else. Here's one called Cocktail Party, C-O-K-T-A-I-L Party. See what this sounds like. There we go. Much better opening for the brand new show, The Uncommon Shaman, with you here on withinsightsradio.com, a channel of Blog Talk Radio. I am your host, Mutto Sasquatch. Thank you for joining me this evening. After that rather unsteady start, I'm hoping the show will get better. At any rate, it's a new show to reflect the fact that there have been changes or incipient changes in my life and sort of gradual changes in the way I've thought about things. And also because I didn't like staying up until midnight anymore. I'm getting older. What's that? There's a change too, right? Getting older and just becoming difficult for me to keep myself awake until midnight. And so, you know, the old name of the show had midnight in the title, so if I change the time, it doesn't make any sense anymore. So I used a phrase, the Uncommon Shaman, which is a nickname given to me by David Two Crows, who also does work on this channel, a good friend and a brother. And thank you so much for that, Two Crows. You can get on, I think, any of the major internet-based vendors and pick up a copy of one of his many books. And I hope you will, because he has a lot to say. I'm actually thinking of making his book, As the Crow Flies, a big part of the show. It's organized as, you know, sort of snippets of wisdom that he had collected over the years. And I thought, you know, from time to time I would, you know, use one of them as the sort of centerpiece of the show, or just a starting point. You know, this is where we're going to, what we're going to discuss tonight. And it might not end on that same note, but it, you know, give us a point to start from, something to focus the show on. I've often used the Shaman Tarot the same way, and the Shaman Tarot is going to come back. My plan at the moment is to do a full Shaman Tarot, 8-card Shaman Tarot reading on the third week of each month. As far as what the topic is going to be, obviously I don't think I can jump into that right now. They will be, I think readings have to be topical. I experimented with just making them, well, let's look at the cards and see what we think they say. But I think, again, it needs something to focus on. It needs some sort of question to be asked. So I'll have to provide that, and I will. If you have any suggestions, you can always drop me a line at mudtosasquatch@gmail.com. But I do have to warn you, it is, for the next little bit, going to be rather difficult to reach me by email. And I'll go into that here in a bit. There's a couple of pieces of housekeeping I want to take care of first. Let's see. Oh, I want to correct an error from last week, which was the final final episode of the old show, I had indicated that I'd been doing that show for 4 years. And I saw an item on Facebook about the killing of Osama bin Laden. And it was said it was the 5th anniversary. I could remember having commented on that on an early episode of my show, but if it was 5 years ago, then I must have been doing the show for 5 years and not 4 years. So I went to the show archive, and I confirmed that I had been doing Mud Toe at Midnight since March of 2011, which made it actually just a little bit more than 5 years. I would have put the episode count at something like 250 rather than 200. So a somewhat larger body of work than I had originally thought of, originally was speaking about. I don't know that it changes, that fact changes anything that I said about it or changes my appreciation of it at all, except to say that, boy, at 5 years, didn't even occur to me that it might have been as long as 5 years. So time flies when you're having fun, I guess. And what else do I want to? Oh, I wanted to send a shout out to Chief Iggy and his band of merry shamans, who did a little work at a nursery school? I don't have it. It's not clear in my notes. It is a school of small children doing a drum circle with small children, which is always terrific to get the young ones involved. They're always very appreciative, if a little loud. I participated, you shouldn't depend on my recollection, but it's been some years ago that we went to a Cub Scout, must have been a PAC meeting. I don't know how Cub Scout meetings work anymore. It's been so long since I've been in them, but it was a large number of Cub Scouts, and did the drumming for them. But I think they enjoyed it, but they were also a little bit rowdy. I think part of that may have been that, as I recall, they really weren't involved so much with playing the drums. They were just listening. The description I read of this event today was that the youngsters were actually hitting the skins, which I think probably works a lot better with the younger ones. You can talk at them later, and when they get older and they start to show an interest in whatever it is we're trying to teach them. And, you know, often that never happens. We'd like them to. Certainly we feel like, I think most of us feel like we have something to share, but it's not, I think it's going to happen on anything but a surface level until the learner approaches the teacher and says, "Please, Obi-Wan, teach me." Or I guess it's Luke now, isn't it? The new one, I didn't see the new one. But anyway, yeah, very good. Kudos to Chief Iggy and to all others involved for doing that today. I think it's important and fine thing to do, a fine way to give of yourselves and of your time. And I, again, want to make that a part, but again, because I haven't said it yet, I want to make that a part of the show, that being to report on what Condor Eagle and Nemenha are doing here locally and elsewhere. I'm not officially part of the communications unit of either of those organizations, so I have to be careful about what I say because I'm not officially speaking for the organization. And also, I haven't cleared this with Chief Iggy at all. It's just, this is actually just popping into my head as I'm talking that I really ought to. And probably I don't see that there would be any possible problem with me talking about it with the drum circle with some kids. But pending Chief Iggy's approval, I will be reporting on events of the Nemenha and the Condor Eagle here in our home state that seem worthy of attention that are uplifting and spiritual and represent, I think, the best qualities of what all of us here at With Insights Radio.com would like to be associated with, would like to stand for. So there's a little bit of light creeping into Mudtoe's show, a little bit, maybe more than a little bit. You can't be all darkness. It can't be all cynicism. It can't be all depression. Just as it can't be all love and light, because when bad things happen, often my love and light based brothers and sisters don't have a platform from which to deal with it, because you know, it's really the let me manifest and let me information and let me send only positive energy to this and it will all work out the way it's supposed to. And I think probably in the long run it does, but we don't always live to see it. As not to the extent that we see the cynicism creeps back in now. I think that often these things have sort of a long-term path that we're not always aware of, that you know, that the whatever the higher force is that directs things, its job isn't to keep us informed of all the details. It's to put our feet on the path and maybe catch us as we wander off of it, or at least provide us with a flashlight in the darkness. Something else occurred to me as I was saying that, and then I lost it. That happens a lot, and it's very irritating. It's something, okay, I know the next thing that I'm going to say has come into my head while I'm saying the previous thing. And that's, you know, I do set the intention that I want my intentions, what I say, to line up with the intentions of Spirit. And I'm going to say what it is that Spirit has put me here to say. So when, you know, something comes into my head, oh, good, I'm making note of that. I want to talk about it because, you know, something just came back into my head. But sometimes I'm already talking about something else. And when I come to the end of that, I cannot remember what it was that was in my head before. I should probably jot it down. But see, what would happen if I jotted it down was I would stop talking because I can't multitask. I get talking. Well, I mean, try talking and writing about something else at the same time and see how well you do. Let me check this before. Here's a fine example. I got something come up on my Facebook and I want to look at it, but I can't continue talking to you until I've Mr. Two Crows has added a new vehicle on a new video. And this could answer my question if it's okay, this is obviously not what we were looking at. What I was hoping was that this would be a video of the event this morning and that would sort of take me off hook. But no, it's quite obviously something else, and I don't know exactly what for. It's some sort of, I don't know what this is supposed to be. It appears that someone dressed up like Harrison Ford, and they're trying to get, he and his buddy in Indiana Jones are trying to get Harrison Ford, Han Solo, out of the carbonite. And now there's a very tall, very weird-looking puppet dancing around behind a band. Does Feed My Frankenstein is possibly Alice Cooper. I know, I don't see Alice, but maybe Alice is there somewhere inside the puppet, perhaps. I don't know. I have to ask Two Crows this video. Of course, he might not have taken it. Who knows? Okay, after that irrelevant sidebar. Let's try to get back to what we want to talk about. I promised in my little blurb about this show that I was going to talk about shifts. And there are times you wish you could just go in and change what you wrote in the little blurb, because I really don't want to try and tackle that in a 30-minute show, which has only a little more than 15 minutes left now, particularly when you're not properly prepared to do it. But I have been working on a set of rules and terminology that I think goes with, because I don't exactly believe in shifts. I think there are norms. There are norms in society, and there are people who are in control of those norms. Those people convince others that are sort of along that same vibration. I want to think of a different word for that than vibration, because it's used in so many other ways. But sure, they speak. You know, I'd say, you know, whether it's, you know, it's the Catholic Church, the Republican Party, the Democrat. I don't mean to pick sides on this at all. These are just, you know, large groups of people who follow a set of rules that are controlled by an elite within here's the word I need. I want to say vibration, but that's not the word I want. There's a group of expectations that you follow to stay a member of good standing in the group. And when the elite within the group make a change or a directed center of thought, that the center of thought changes, and all of these people move to the left, to the right, forward, back, whatever it is, however you want to picture it in spatial terms, something changes. I think that's what we think of as a shift. I think shifts are created by groups of people and a lot of focused energy. It's a relatively new idea, just something I've been trying to work out what the parameters of that would be. I talked a little bit last week on the previous show, on the former show, about normal, just thinking, you know, normal people are falling along a path. And I think normal is not a set. I mean, there's no normal, and there's normal. I mean, what's normal for I mean, ISIS is in the middle of their own sort of center of thought, and everything that happens within that center of thought is very normal to them. What we're doing is what's radical and dangerous. But that's the model, that there's a bunch of us here, and we're along this path, this curve, this center of thought, and there are people who are outside of that, and the people who are outside of that are present a danger to us. Maybe a small, maybe they're an annoyance, maybe they're an actual physical threat. And the term doesn't exactly map onto this, but it's a term I learned back in graduate school. It's hegemony, which is there's a one way of thinking, and it's our way, and if you question it, you're an other or an enemy. This isn't precisely that, but it kind of takes that shape. So it's on the line and off the line. And how far off the line, and how demonstrative are you about being off the line, or going the other way, how good are you at pretending to be on the line? And when the line shifts, how does that affect the rest of the world? I use the word shift. I want to avoid using the word shifts, because that's the word that's being used now, and I don't think of it as a shift that's happening because, it's a shift of nature. Although I think that there is probably something distinct in nature. I think most of the things that we observe happening around us have to do with things that we're doing, the energy that we're putting out, and perhaps nature reacting to that. Another nature stirring up the volcanoes and the earthquakes and melting the ice, and causing the storms, and jerking the thermostat up and down because of what human beings are doing. I'm going to back off of that. I need to think more about this before I make the statement that I was about to make. Because I want to have terminology for you. I really do. I feel like I'm kind of I'm here and just throwing out words without a system. But see, that's the problem. It's the trap I find myself in, because if I was going to adopt a political / social philosophy, it would be radical humanism. And unfortunately, I do not have there's a gentleman who's sort of the god of radical humanism. He's not around anymore. He did all this work back in the 40s and 50s, if I recall. He's an East Indian gentleman, and I can never remember his name because, you know, the East Indian names I can't hook into them. I'm not familiar with them at all. So it's hard enough for me to remember Western European-based names. Grand chief of Nemanja has a native spiritual name, which I cannot remember because it just does not. It's just a list of syllables. I can't make it mean anything. And I was going to say something about this, and I've completely lost it. What was the comment I was going to make about names? And I was talking about radical humanism. You have humanism, which is the sort of philosophy that humans should come first over organizations. Okay. Then we moved to another person started talking about secular humanism, which was directed. I don't know this. I don't know. I think I'm going to say this incorrectly. The end effect of it, I don't think this is what the intention of it was, but the focus became on religious organizations. It wasn't just generally that humans are more important than organizations. It was that humans are more important than religious organizations. That the human experience must always trump, forgive my use of that word, the narrative. Of whatever religious group might be trying to win the day. Now you move to radical humanism, which says it's not just religious organizations you need to keep clear of. It's any organization that's any group of people that one identifies with takes away from you as an individual. It restricts your growth as an individual. You will not. If you are a Catholic or a Lutheran or a Baptist, or if you're an ISIS, or if you're a Muslim or whatever it is you are, I'm using all religious examples. If you're a Freemason, if you're in the Republican Party, if you're in the local theater group, just any organization. When you make yourself a part of an organization, identify with a group of people, you give a part of yourself away. And you are not what you would have been. And the radical humanists saw this as a bad thing. I see it as potentially a bad thing. But I also believe that humans are inherently social creatures, and that a lot of what we learn comes from our association with others. So you have to strike a balance between the groups that we identify with and then also our own personal development. And that is, you know, one of those tricky things to navigate. So I'm seeing that. I'm thinking, how do I take that and codify it? Which, as a good radical humanist, I should never, ever, ever do, right? I'm not supposed to have a code. Codes are bad. I saw someone that actually put up a thing about the Radical Humanist Manifesto, which is like it's maybe the ultimate contradiction in terms, or non sequitur more than a contradiction in terms. you can't have, you know, you're not supposed to, you know, put down rules and you know, be, you know, subscribe, you know, sign your name and all that, and be a part of the group. It's like completely the opposite of what radical humanism is supposed to be. But so you can't have, you radical humanists, you can't have a manifesto, you can't have rules, you can't have leaders, which makes it rather difficult to get anything done. So this is what we got. We've got a system that's been, I believe, pushed into a greater and greater dependence on the adoption of a normalcy, some kind of normalcy, any kind of normalcy, preferably one that isn't going to get bombs dropped on you. We're sort of banding together because we fear what's coming across the ocean at us. Because we know, I don't want to use the word karma. We know what our ancestors have left behind us in other parts of the world, and that energy, I believe, has shifted directions. Again, there's that word shift I didn't want to use. That has changed directions, just like the wind in that Tom Hanks movie, Castaway. He's waiting for the wind to change, and then it all changes at once. Like never happens for real ever, but you just see everything just shift and go the other way. I don't know that it's, well, it certainly seems like it's happened that way. It seemed like we, thinking of Americans and Western Europeans, were having things pretty much our own way up until the 1960s. I think Vietnam, probably the first butt spanking we got. And then the Arab oil embargo. And we've been kind of circling the wagons and holding on since then. So that's, again, that word I don't want to use, shift. In response to a change in the normalcy of the, you know, of the brown people in the world, he said, We found our, you know, through petroleum or through through just, you know, being, you know, this is our jungle and you can't get enough tanks in here to kill all of us. We'll hide and then when you're gone we'll come back. You found a power. There's a new normalcy in there. We're not victims anymore. We can come and get you. And I'm not saying that's good. I'm not saying it's right for people to come and shoot at anybody for any reason. But it changed the normalcy. All of a sudden, America and Western Europe, not the bullies of the world anymore. They still can't be beaten in what Americans would call a straight up fight. But they do pretty well on their own terms, and the world has become a different place. So we're running out of time for this evening. I know I'm glad to have been here. I'm hoping that I have spurred at least a bit of interest that you might come back and hear me talk some more. Next week I will have done my first full week of my new full-time job. I can tell you all about that. Maybe I will have thought a little bit more about this system of what I don't want to call shifts. And working towards, if you don't like that, working towards the third Friday, you'll have the Shaman Tarot to look forward to. So please do join me, and thank you for joining me this evening. As I tried to look for the mouse. Okay, here it is.